There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
And here we go, 1207 FM Talk 106.5. You're listening to Midday Mobile. I am not Sean Sullivan. This is Dalton Orwig filling in for Sean Sullivan, possibly one last time for the week. He should be back with us very soon, the man that runs FM Talk 106.5. But it is my absolute pleasure today to be broadcasting from the battleship, USS Alabama, here at Battleship Memorial Park. Have been coming here for years. Absolutely love it. Love our relationship with you guys here. And a great discussion coming up here with Major General Janet Cobb. How are you, General Cobb?
I'm very well. I was just thinking, a radio station? You know, we have a ham radio here on both USS Alabama and USS Strong. But here we have our own radio station right here in the commission room. I'm doing well. I'm just going to speak briefly and say to everyone listening today for the Sean Sullivan Hour, the Dalton Orwig Hour now, thank you for listening. Continue to listen to these great guys and this great programming. It's been my pleasure to be executive director here at Battleship Park for 9 years. I think we've mentioned I'm retiring on the 31st of December after 9 years, and it's time, and I'm ready. So it's been wonderful. Love the relationship with you guys, and you know, I'm an old radio head myself, way back in the day, radio news in Tuscaloosa and Birmingham, but that's been a way back in the last century, so it's been a long time ago. So my dad told me when I was in high school, girl, you need to get paid to see if somebody will pay you to talk.
Yeah.
And so I did for a couple of years, and I enjoyed it. But
of course, you have served our nation, and I know you're very humble about it. And I know you just want to admit, I just want to tell you from our side of things, and mine specifically, I've been at the station, FM Talk, for probably, well, it's been about 11 years now. So
crazy.
We were coming up here when Bill Tunnell was executive director, and I remember when you took over.
Yeah.
And have been coming ever since. And you've just done such a great job here, overseeing so many things, but the teak deck replacement. And really enjoyed your interview with Sean last month for Veterans Month, telling us about your career, your life, your history. And we want to thank you so much. I know we're going to have a more in-depth interview with Sean later this month. But thank you so much for everything you've done for this community.
You are welcome. You try to leave it better than you found it, as Bill did. Bill had to work with the commission and the staff to rebuild Battleship Park after Hurricane Katrina. The financial crisis of 08-09, the BP oil spill of 10. So, you know, I came at a fortunate time, and we have been able to do a lot of things. So, and speaking of a lot of things,
yeah.
Hannah Nelson, our director of communication, is going to tell you about a lot of things coming up. So good to see you, my brother, and
great.
I will see you before I go.
That is fantastic.
All
great
right.
To see you, Major General Janet Cobb, with us before getting back to work, as we now talk with Hannah Nelson, the communications director here at Battleship Memorial Park, and we are on board USS Alabama. Hannah, good afternoon. How's it going?
Good afternoon. It's going good. Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah, so General Cobb there saying, hey, it's pretty busy around here, and she ain't lying, to say the least. Of course, we've talked so often about the Living History crew drills that you have, and another one coming up this Saturday. We'll get into what else is going on this weekend, but why don't we start with the holidays, Hannah? And you don't need to come up here on a specific day if you want some great gifts. Those are here in the gift shop, but I would recommend, with Christmas coming up, maybe in the next couple of weeks getting by, and you've got so much of the great teak items in the gift shop and so many other really good gifts that I'm just saying, so people could knock out two birds, one stone here coming up for the Living History Crew Drill or the Holidays at the Park this weekend and getting some great presents.
Yeah, it's a great time. I mean, Christmas is coming up. I know I'm behind on my Christmas shopping. I don't know if anybody else is. It just kind of popped up on us. But yeah, because of our teak deck replacement, we're also selling the teak that was here. And so it's a great way to own a piece of history. And it's a perfect gift for history buffs or just anybody in your life that loves visiting the park and they can have a piece of it in their home. I feel like it's really a sweet thing to do. But yeah, we have a lot of events coming up this weekend. So it's a perfect opportunity to come and shop while you're here.
As far as that teak, by the way, the more we discussed it as the project was ongoing, and Sean and I, everybody was saying, well, are you going to sell that teak? Are you going to make it so that we can have... And I was just picturing these planks, you know, being sold. But you guys did such a genius idea. You've got pens.
Impressive. I bought it myself. I've bought a coaster for my office. We have it in pens, coasters, anything. And if you want it in just its original form, you can have it that way because some people would like that. But you can have it in any format just about you can imagine. It's really cool.
Yeah, it's genius. And then of course your normal merch with the USS Alabama stuff and really cool things you have in there. So that a great point as we head towards the and are in the shopping season. But let's talk about the other reasons to come up here, and especially this weekend we have another Living History Crew Drill coming up.
Yes, and it's actually on the Pearl Harbor anniversary, which would be a great day to come and like for the family to educate your kids. Just
I should have put two and two together, but you are exactly right. This Saturday
it is, anniversary, it's really cool. When I figured that out, I was just thinking that's a perfect, like, it just lined up perfectly with the calendar. And so yeah, it's the same deal as always. Call to battle stations at 1 p.m. Planes are to fly based on weather, mechanical safety. I have not heard otherwise that they're not going to.
Okay.
But always check our social media for any updates on that. We'll let you know if you're planning to come and want to see the planes. We let you know. And you can follow us on social media anywhere, Instagram, Facebook, USS Alabama Battleship Memorial Park.
And so for those who haven't been, and I know a lot of our listeners have, this Living History Crew Drill, this is like a reenactment, right? You're going to have, I mean, there are people up here.
I mean, it's all day long. People are dressed up, showing people around. Like, you almost get guided tours because of just the volunteers that we have. They're so enthusiastic. Just everywhere you walk around the park is like a step back in time, and it's really immersive.
So if someone wants to spend the full day here, let's say get here early, and do the tour, do the normal USS Alabama kind of tour and looking around thing. When does the drill actually begin? When are we to battle stations, everyone?
It's 1 p.m. for call to battle stations.
Okay.
So typically if you want to kind of see all that, we recommend 11 a.m. And just be on deck, and you'll be able to see it all.
And you could even double it up or pick one or the other. Something new you got going on here, and it's coming up this Sunday. Tell us, Hannah, about Holidays at the Park.
Yes, I'm very excited about this. It's our first ever holiday themed event that we're having. It's free to the public, and it is going to be in the Aircraft Pavilion this Sunday, 5 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. So, you know, not too late, just like perfect time to bring out the family. And there's going to be Mobe beignets serving hot chocolate and beignets, so you can purchase those.
Yeah.
And then you can also visit with Santa Claus. He's
going to
be stopping by from the North Pole.
He might. I imagine Santa might sneak a beignet or two from Mobe beignets.
Maybe.
Or maybe he needs to, you know, keep it trim heading into the Christmas.
Yeah,
he's got a lot of cookies.
He's got some busy traveling to do.
Yeah.
But yeah, and they could do, your kids could do crafts. There's going to be the Alma Bryant High School Choir is going to be performing.
Oh, cool.
We have a lot of stuff going on. There's going to be a tree lighting ceremony, and we just recently had a Christmas card contest, and the winners of this contest, their artwork is going to be on cards sent to our veterans' homes.
Wow, that's cool.
And so we're giving their awards to them at this event, and so it'll be really just a cool event for them to get recognized, and then also we have all of the artwork that was submitted on display.
Wow, cool.
For people to view, so it'll be a fun weekend, but especially a fun Sunday night. So if anybody wants to stop by, you definitely should. It's free.
And get into the Christmas mood if you haven't already. Now, whose idea was the cards and having the Christmas cards to the veterans' home?
We had done this in the past, and so it just kind of like resurfaced.
Okay.
Our marketing director, she was she was looking into it. She really wanted to do that. We had just done, actually, a essay contest for Veterans Day. And so she's been very on it with the contest. Yeah. And it's really fun to see the kids submit their work.
That's such a sweet idea. Mm-hmm. Yeah, create a Christmas card.
And contacting the veterans' homes, they're so excited about it. Like they, and that's another thing for people out there. Make sure to send cards and letters to your veterans' homes, because they were just saying they don't typically receive stuff like that. And so it's very exciting for
them
too. Wow,
that's an easy way to put some smiles on some very important faces. So you'll be honoring the winners of that. You'll have all of those cards on display. You're going to have some food, Santa, music, crafts. Is this the first time we're doing something like this here at the park? This
it is.
Holidays at the park. So anyone that comes out this Sunday, 5 o'clock, it's free. They could say, you know, in 15 years, mm-hmm. we're in year 15 of this, and say, I remember going to that first
annual one, yeah. And there's gonna be a little scavenger hunt, so make sure to stay till the end because we're gonna announce the winners at the end of the night. But there's plenty for you to do. We have story time, crafts, and the scavenger hunt will take you a minute too. So, and you can also get to explore the ship after hours. So that's pretty cool, too.
Whoa, yeah, that's a great idea as well. All right, so to kind of put all this together, the gift shop, it's normally your last stop as you leave the park, but I'm going to say that should be the first reason to come by before Christmas. But great reasons this weekend. Living History Crew Drill, Saturday, battle stations at 1. You can come earlier, around 11, you said it's a good time to get in and get a tour in, and then watch the reenactment. Planes right now are looking like they'll fly. Check the social media. And then Holidays at the Park, Sunday, free from 5 to 7:30, a great time to bring the family. This looks like a great weekend, Hannah.
Yes, sir. It's exciting.
Well, pleasure for me to meet you for the first time.
Yes, it's a pleasure,
Hannah,
for me, too.
Now communications director, and great job with everything you're doing right here at the battleship and all these great new ideas. And looking forward to hopefully seeing you this weekend.
Thank you. Yes, sir. You'll see me plenty.
All right. Hannah Nelson, communications director with the USS Alabama. And also, before that, a short conversation with Major General Janet Cobb. Now, she... If you remember her interview with Sean Sullivan last month, retiring as executive director, and Commander Mark Fields has been named the new executive director to take over in 2025. Janet will have a nice long conversation with Sean going forward. More Midday Mobile on the way.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
It's not Sean Sullivan, it's Dalton Orwig in for Sean Sullivan on Midday Mobile. 251-343-0106. That is the text line. If you'd like to hop on with us, we'll get to some of those here momentarily, plus some updates on some news we've been following so far this week. But first, let's check in with our good friend David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars. Good afternoon, David.
Hey, bud. Good talking to you, Dalton. I was talking to, Sean and I talk a lot about finding people cars. And I know that, you know, everybody's looking for something. Everybody wants something special. And some people can afford to get whatever they want. And then some people try to find out what they qualify for. So, you know, we specialize in both of those things. But we're here lately, we've had a lot of folks coming in doing what I've done for Sean, finding a particular vehicle. So don't forget that we do that.
Yeah, you do, and you'll basically go to the end of the earth to find them for them, and you normally don't have to do that because you're so good at searching them out, but let's just say, you know, if I wanted a certain year, certain make, certain color, you're able to take care of that.
Yeah, I mean, we're getting down to interior colors, you know. Sometimes it gets a little harder to find something that's, you know, the exact specific thing, but we're going to do everything we can to do it, and then once we find what you're looking for, and we've got the financing and all there in-house to take care of all your needs, is warranties, everything. It's very easy.
It sure is, and it's easy to find you as well. How can folks come out and see you?
We're at Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. You can give us a call at 251-375-0068. We can talk about what you're looking for in the future, or you can just go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com.
All right. We appreciate it, David.
All right, buddy. Have a good day.
David McCrary checking in from LCM Motor Cars there. Right now, 1224 FM Talk 106.5. We are live, and by we, I mean I, Dalton Orwig, live from the USS Alabama here at Battleship Memorial Park, as we have the Living History Living History Crew Drill, sorry, coming up Saturday. Right now it's looking like the planes will be flying, so hopefully that weather holds. And then Sunday, a really cool first-time thing they're doing here, the Holidays at the Park, free to the public. Seems like it would be great to bring the kids or grandkids up for that. So just think about that as you plan your weekend. All right, a few stories that we've been following this week. Of course, the tragedy that happened south of Dauphin Island over the weekend. And right now, still the search ongoing from everything I've been able to gather over the last 30 minutes or an hour or so. Search still ongoing for 7-year-old Hunter Slezak. It's now been, this is day six since Slezak went missing. I believe, you know, we've had so many different groups, rescue crews, veteran crews, of course, law enforcement, first responders, and other positions, and they're all coming down and trying to help and have been searching all the time for Hunter and this boat. And I believe the newest news here from WKRG, now we have the Monroe County Rescue Squad has come down and said they will be assisting in the search. But right now they are still searching. They found Hunter's father, Michael, and Sam Woolley, the 69-year-old grandfather who was the boat owner. And they found them about 9 miles off the coast back on the 29th of November after they departed from Billy Goat Hole boat ramp there on Dauphin Island. And the search continues. They said here the search operations will encompass Pelican Bay and the surrounding areas along Pelican Channel. So we'll keep our eyes on that as it continues. I did want to play this because we talk about the volunteers that have come out to help in this search. And a lot of folks in Sims, of course, this story hits as close to home as it can, as Michael Slezak is the was the head baseball coach for Sims Middle School. And so many people knew him from that and knew him from teaching and just being a good dude. Same with Sam Woolley. And you've got folks from Sims coming down to help. Here's a man named Byron Bird who spoke with Analia Spriggs from Fox 10 about why he decided to help out.
I'm a father myself. I'm an avid fisherman out here. And I was out here Sunday, and of course you see it on Facebook, you know. I was out here Sunday, started off fishing, and it turned into something else because Coast Guard override the radio, and I just couldn't help myself. And, you know, they're, my children go to that school, and he's a big part of our community, and it's just something that touched home, and I decided to do it. I have the boat, I have the capability, so we're going to attempt and hope to bring some closure to his mother.
Yeah, praying for that for sure, that they find this boat and find Hunter, and of course that all of our volunteers and first responders stay safe as well. So we'll keep you updated as that story continues. And then on the national stage, a lot of discussion, of course, about President-elect Donald Trump's nominees. And while Matt Gaetz was dropped in there as the nominee for AG and became the first to step out of the running for his nomination, it looked like the pressure was on Pete Hegseth today. And you saw in this Wall Street Journal report last night that the nominee for defense secretary has a crucial 48 hours, and that Trump's team could be pulling the plug if he can't seem to win over any of these senators that he needs to win over. Well, Hegseth today, he says he's going to fight like hell. Those were his exact words. He told Megyn Kelly, the president-elect, I'm sorry, it wasn't Hegseth that said that. It was Trump who told Hegseth he still supports him for that role. And said he plans to fight like hell. So Hegseth said, Trump said, "Hey, Pete, I got your back. It's a fight. They're coming after you. Get after it." Hegseth is going to keep rolling. And how long, I guess we will see. But the other notable part of that report from the Wall Street Journal last night was who might be Trump's backup plan. And I know April Marie Fogle talked about this quite a bit and what she would or would not do if she were in that position. But Governor Ron DeSantis, could he be the choice if Hegseth doesn't make it? You also saw Iowa Senator Joni Ernst. Her name has been passed around. Is it a good move if DeSantis is tabbed defense secretary nominee? He's term limited. He can't be governor in Florida past 2026. Would that put him in a position to potentially challenge J.D. Vance if Republicans are looking strong heading into 2028. Something to think about. Hey, John Sharp with AL.com joins us to talk about some local news. He's on the way next right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Yeah, welcome back. Midday Mobile here on FM Talk 106.5 and live aboard the USS Alabama battleship here at Battleship Memorial Park. As we continue to roll through this chilly week, some rain possibly on the way, according to Dr. Bill, tomorrow. But then things clear up for the weekend, and by Sunday, we'll have a nice sunny 70-degree day, maybe some clouds mixed in, but certainly warmer than we began our day with today. And that's good, because we have a big weekend coming up here at Battleship Memorial Park with the Living History Crew Drill, and then the first ever Holidays at the Park. So looking forward to that coming up Saturday for the drill, and then Sunday for Holidays at the Park. Tonight, Fairhope Brewing Company, that's where FM Talk 106.5 will be. Cheers to charity, raising money for the Warrior Legacy Ranch in Robertsdale. And if you haven't heard about Warrior Legacy Ranch, you can just load up our podcast page. We talked with Patrick Jump, the founder of Warrior Legacy Ranch, about why he decided to do what he's doing and what the plans are. We had a good conversation with him a couple days ago. That's loaded up on our podcast page. But better yet, I believe Patrick will be out there tonight with us, and he'll tell the story there as well. So come on out to Fairhope Brewing Company. We'll be behind the bar from 6 to 8, and every single tip between those 2 hours will go towards Warrior Legacy Ranch. So I would look forward to seeing you if you're able to make it out there tonight. All right, without further ado, time for our next guest, and what a guest he is. John Sharp with AL.com joins us, and he has been working his butt off, per usual, writing up some great stuff on the local news. John, good afternoon. How are you? Let's see. Are you there, John? I'm not hearing you. Looks like Leanna back at the studio. I'm seeing John saying he's having some connection issues. So maybe if we can dial him back up, we'll try to get John on. But John had the great opportunity to witness Governor Ivey back in town again yesterday. Seems like she's been making many trips to Mobile, many more than she used to over this last year. And she was back in town again yesterday at the Port of Mobile. Mobile Chamber of Commerce forum that they were having. And a big part of her conversation was everything that's changing in the port. And she was also asked quite a bit about the I-10 Mobile River Bridge and Bayway project and where things stand with that right now, as it looks like we're going to either be paying tolls for hundreds of years, or maybe that federal grant, that extra federal loan that they're applying for, that they said could cover about half of the construction costs, that would be a big help, but that's something we're still waiting on. So Ivy certainly had plenty to talk about there yesterday. And here's some audio, actually, before we get to John. You had, if John is back on the line, let me know, Leanna. But yesterday, former Congressman Bradley Byrne, of course, president and CEO of the Mobile Chamber, talked a bit about that I-10 Mobile River Bridge project and what it means with a new administration coming in. Here's what former Congressman Byrne sounded like yesterday.
Break ground on the bridge next year. Now, there's a lot of moving parts there, and we're changing administrations in Washington. There may be some hiccups with that. Nothing intentional, just transitions you have issues. But we'll get through those, and we're going to break ground on that bridge and start building it, because that is incredibly important.
So he was just saying there might be some issues just because of the way a transition goes, but we've heard so many people say they have Trump's ear and that he is going to try to help out. Right now, I believe we have him on the line, John Sharp with AL.com. Hey, John.
Hey, Dalton. How are you doing?
There we go. I am doing great, and pleasure to talk to you, John. Ivy yesterday giving a speech at the Chamber of Commerce, that forum they were having, and you asked her, and she talked about the potential tariff war that could be on the way and what might that mean for us as a port city.
Yeah, that did come up. She did not mention it during her speech, but, you know, it's kind of the elephant in the room a little bit, because this has been an issue that occurred during the first Trump administration. I don't know if you recall this or not, but it was a big concern by the Port Authority back in around 2018. A lot of local leaders also expressed a lot of concerns. There's actually some lobbying that was done in Washington, D.C. to try and remove auto parts or airplane parts from the list of items that would be issued a tariff. At the time, they were included on a list. And that would have been devastating to Airbus's plant here in Mobile. So they were able to get that removed through local lobbying of the administration. I think there was just a situation at the time where the Trump administration probably didn't realize the impact that those tariffs would mean to down here in Mobile. And so, yeah, I mean, you know, clearly that, I mean, we all see this on the news and hear about it, that tariffs are a big part of what President-elect Trump is talking about when he takes office. And so it'll be interesting to see what might be included, how that might affect port operations, and how it might affect the local economy. And, you know, but a lot of the folks I talked to yesterday, including the governor and John Driscoll, the new CEO at the he's since replaced Jimmy Lyons, who was there in 2018, at that time. John Driscoll is the CEO of the Port Authority today. And I asked him about this, you know, about the tariff, the potential for tariffs. And they said that, you know, it's just simply too early to tell. You know, the Ivy said that, you know, we're going to stick up for business. It was a pretty vague comment, but it's kind of a vague situation right now. We just don't really know yet what items could be issued a tariff.
Yeah, and that's kind of the overall story regarding tariffs, right? There's plenty of people who just assume, well, they take Trump at his word and say, uh-oh, he said he's going to throw the tariffs way up on Canada and Mexico and hit China even harder. But then you have a lot of people who are probably more correct saying, we have no idea what the heck is going to happen and that this is all just one big negotiation. But the point you made that he's been in office, we've kind of experienced what it's like in a tariff war before. I'm sure that helped Trump having a first go around at this, and I would imagine it helps us at the port to kind of expect the unexpected, I would guess.
Well, that's correct. And we do have, you know, there's a sizable amount of goods that are imported from Mexico into the port of Mobile. And so that would be, that would have an effect here locally. Just, we don't know yet exactly what the president-elect is talking about. I know that there's those threats that are out there. We can anticipate something happening. The trade experts I talked to yesterday on this type of stuff, you know, they said that the pain might be felt short term, but long term, what the port has done as far as making investments and improving its facilities. You know, we talked about the deepening and widening of the ship channel to prepare for bigger ships that will come into the United States through the Gulf of Mexico. That, you know, these are wise investments to get the facility prepared, to get the Port of Mobile prepared for trade activity down the line. So, you know, while we might be talking about, you know, curtailing some things on the short term, you know, all the money that has been spent on the federal and state end to do a lot of the work down there is going to pay off in the long run.
Talking with John Sharp, AL.com, and you can read his work on social media as well. Let's keep it aimed at Trump for just a second for another one of your stories you've written recently. Everyone, or a lot of folks up in arms about the pardon that President Biden gave to his son Hunter. You've had some on the left that have been calling Biden out for it. You have some that have been saying, well, it's, you know, kind of excusing the actions from the president and his son. And you went to the newest congressman we have here in the state, and that's Shamari Figures, and got his opinion on this whole thing. What did he have to say about it?
Yeah, you know, I did talk to him briefly about this yesterday. He said that, you know, in a nutshell, basically he said that it just is one of these items that's a hot-button issue at this point in time. But his focus is getting ready to be a congressman. You know, he's a, you know, these are things that get attention right now. But, you know, his focus is to get prepared to enter office. And you know, his big priorities right now are is rural hospitals, rural health care. We'll see how that goes initially for him. And then, of course, advocating for transportation money for this area. You know, he did make a comment that, you know, we can anticipate, you know, President-elect Trump to eventually pardon the January 6th rioters. I mean, that was one of the comments he made as well. He said, you know, this is, it's not surprising that President Biden would do this for his son Hunter. But, you know, this, he anticipates or predicts that, you know, we'll see some eye-opening pardons from the president-elect as well. And, you know, this has happened before with presidents in the past. There'll be some shocking pardons. And so, you know, this is an example of just kind of falling in line with that. But, you know, I know the big criticism from Republicans of late has been that President Biden said publicly, and not too long ago, as a matter of fact, as recent as the month of June, said he would not pardon his son. And so, the claim is that, you know, he actually went back on his word and did so. So mm-hmm. that's been the concern or the complaints that have been made by Republicans, including Senator Tommy Tuberville, who said he doesn't blame yeah. Biden for pardoning his son, but you said you wouldn't. So
right, yeah, it's a real easy layup for the Republicans, and I think. For congressman figures, probably a smart move as he heads into office to kind of just stay below the fray for a second. So good response there. And then, John, I was thinking about this driving Sage to Dauphin the other day here in Mobile, and they're clearing off that one corner for a massive new, kind of a complex, housing complex, apartment complex kind of thing. And I thought about that, and then I thought, I think this is happening on every corner in Baldwin County because I see so many stories about, and we've been seeing it for years, residents who are worried about changes to traffic, changes to, a lot of things regarding their day-to-day life. And Daphne has this one that's been pretty controversial now for a few months now, if not longer. And a vote from the city council on Monday regarding Prospect Park, the new 700-unit village. What's the latest from Daphne, and what is the community saying about this?
So residents that are across from Prospect Park in the Canterbury Place subdivision, it's been there since the mid-90s, they're really upset about it. And this is a common thing that you're hearing throughout Baldwin County. It's just, you know, this isn't just Daphne. I mean, Spanish Fort lately has had some meetings in which they've had a humongous crowd. They've had large crowds showing up, much larger than we've seen in Daphne. But in Daphne, we did see a lot of vocal opponents come out in recent months saying that, this is a bad subdivision. This is not something that we want, this development, for various mm-hmm. reasons. One, the main one being traffic. That goes along Champions Way, and there's some concerns that the city's not being attentive enough or planning for a future in which you're going to be seeing this development, along with Church of the Highlands building a big facility next door on 181, as well as Daphne High School, which is, you know, one of the largest high schools in the area, is right down the road as well. So you have all this traffic at once, and that's a big concern for the residents and a big change. You also have the prospects of a hotel there. Now, the developers say, you know, it's going to be a high-end type of development, and I think a lot of city officials believe so as well. I mean, certainly they probably wouldn't have approved it if it was, you're talking about an economic hotel or something along those lines. But it's a higher end hotel, but that's raised some worries as well. You know, why would they, you know, a lot of questions on why would a hotel want to locate at that particular site when you have a bunch of hotels right down the road at 181 and I-10. So a lot of questions raised. It's a lot of the concerns about development, overdevelopment, and basically growth management. And that's something that I think we all need to keep an eye on, because we have municipal elections coming up in August. And that's a big issue in Baldwin County. There's been countless number of planning commission meetings, city council meetings, county commission meetings, you name it, in which there's been people showing up, raising concerns mm-hmm. about overgrowth in Baldwin County and not managed correctly. And a lot of people have a lot of, that's going to be the big issue in these municipal races. And that's just something to keep an eye on. It'll be a much different conversation in Baldwin County than it is in Mobile County.
No doubt about it. And it seems like something that might just go on and on and on as the county continues to grow. Good stuff as always, John. Appreciate you coming on with me today. For folks to find you online, I know you're easy to find on social media and at AL.com.
Yeah, AL.com, and of course on X at JohnSharp99.
All right. Thank you, John. Have a good one.
All right, Dalton. Thanks.
John Sharp, AL.com, and the latest on some pretty big stories in our neck of the woods. 251-343-0106. If you want to hop on the text line, we will wrap up this hour of Midday Mobile here in a moment. Then Scuttlebutt Network with Tom Claxton follows. More Midday Mobile on the way.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Yeah, we're wrapping it up here on board the USS Alabama battleship here at USS Alabama Battleship Memorial Park. A big weekend coming up here, and you could do some Christmas shopping. I encourage you to do some Christmas shopping as we head towards Christmas. And one great place I may have bought my then girlfriend, then fiance, now wife, several gifts here over the years, and that is at Mobile Bay Coins. And on to talk with us about what they got going on there is Anna. Hey, Anna. Good afternoon.
How you doing?
I am great, and even better now that I have you on the line, because you can tell me what kind of great items you have there in the shop for maybe some Christmas shopping this year.
Yes, sir. So we have plenty of jewelry available, you know, anything from white metals, yellow, being silver, platinum, gold, and really nice pieces, necklaces, rings, earrings, just about everything you can think of. Really nice pieces and price ranges. You know, we've got every price range covered. And Christmas rounds, I've been selling like hotcakes. It's 1 ounce of fine silver with a Christmas theme that you can have a person's name or a child put on the back. And another thing that's been selling really well is the Trump rounds. 47 presidency are already in. And we're sold out, but we're have another shipment on next week.
Yeah, I'd love to know the average amount of time that those stay on the shelves, because I would guess it isn't very long. People are loving those. So you've got some great items there. Like I said, I've been shopping for my Christmas gifts over the years at Mobile Bay Coin. How can folks find you, Anna?
We're at 2204 Government Street, just a block west of Little Flowers Catholic School and Church.
All right. Easy enough. Thanks. Have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right, there you go, Anna from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. And looking at the text line, thank you, Peacock. Appreciate that. Same to you, Irish Indian. Thank you. This texter, the news segment that aired earlier called President Trump a convicted felon. Based on what I've read from numerous sources, he is not a convicted felon until he is actually sentenced. Who is correct? I don't know. I mean, I assume that once you're convicted, that you would be a convicted felon. Maybe you're just convicted, and then once the sentencing comes down, then you become a convicted felon. I'm not sure. I do know that I guess you can call him what you want. It doesn't really matter, because these cases are being tossed left and right. And the last one remaining, the Fannie Willis one, probably that case not long for this world either. But until then, I guess we'll just have to deal with more name calling like we've gotten so used to here. Also, tonight, live from the Fairhope Brewing Company, as we raise money for Warrior Legacy Ranch in Robertsdale, Patrick Jump will be up there and get a good chance to hear about his vision, his dream, his plan, and what he wants to do for veterans. And they are a fantastic, kind of a new group there, Warrior Legacy Ranch. So would love for you to come by tonight, 6 to 8 at Fairhope Brewing Company, as we pour some beer and raise money for a great veterans charity here. This one, Darren says, this is bad for Foley. Are you talking about these new living areas with apartments and condos and, that are going up everywhere? And I appreciate that. Okay, Bob. There you go. Bob, yeah, let me know what you're talking about there. I appreciate the compliment as well. Pat says, if he was a convicted felon, he wouldn't have been allowed to vote. There you go. That's a great point. So he voted, but if they had gone through with the sentencing, at what point do you become officially a convicted felon? I would guess with what you said there, Pat, once the sentencing actually comes down, and where traditionally they would walk a criminal, put the cuffs on him and walk him back past the back part of the court and into the jail, then that would be when they officially become a convicted felon. That will not be happening with Trump. All right, that wraps it up for this hour of Midday Mobile. Tomorrow on Mobile Mornings, we'll get into this survey that went around yesterday. Some names of potential mayoral candidates from Mobile. Some of those very, very interesting. Also asking what you're interested in when it comes to the next mayor. We'll get into that coming up tomorrow morning on Mobile Mornings. But coming up next, Scuttlebutt Network takes over at 1, followed by the Paul Feinbaum Show at 2 o'clock. Have a good one, everyone.